to see each and every one of you all out this beautiful, I'm going to call it a beautiful morning. All you fall lovers, you now have your cool temperatures, your rainy weather, and all those things that summer is not. So it's great to see each and one of your smiling faces. I'm so happy that we have the opportunity to be here to study God's Word with each other. If you would, we're going to be focusing on today the lives of Moses and Jesus. Oftentimes it's helpful for us to look back and examine true biblical characters to help us learn lessons on how we should be living our lives. In today's world, people look at movie stars, famous musicians, music singers, celebrities, friends, family members, and many others to see who they should be modeling their lives after. Well, I contend that instead of looking at Hollywood, instead of looking at our TVs and listening to our radios and things like that, we should be looking at God's Word and finding people that we should model our lives after. Today, I want to take just a few moments with you to look at the lives of Moses and Jesus. What can we take away from their lives to help improve ours? And as we're going to see, the lives of Moses and Jesus, they had many different similarities. See, starting in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, the Lord, your God, will raise up for a prophet like me from among you. This is Moses speaking. From your brothers, it is to him you shall listen. We see Moses speak this all the way back in the time of the book of Deuteronomy. We see this also quoted by Peter in Acts chapter 3, verse 22. Peter says, Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers, and you shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. So we see here in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see a connection between Jesus and Moses. And we see this passage, this prophecy that there will be a prophet raised up that you shall listen to. We see this fulfilled also in the New Testament. We see first in John chapter 1, we see the people there asking John the Baptist. And they ask him, being John. It says, what are you, or what then are you, Elijah? He says, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answers, no. At this current time, they were thinking that John the Baptist was going to be this prophet that was prophesied about. A little bit later on in John chapter 1, they ask him again, then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet? So these people here, they're thinking that John the Baptist, finally this prophecy has come true with John the Baptist. But John says, no, it's not me. But then later on in the book of John, if you skip over to John chapter 6, John has just fed 5,000 people. And in John chapter 6, verse 14, he says, when the people saw the sign that he had done, and that was one of his miracles that he had done, they said, this is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. Over one more chapter in John chapter 7, verse 40, this is Jesus speaking now. It says, when they heard these words that Jesus had just spoke, some of the people says, this really is the prophet. So we see a connection. We see Moses prophesying that there will be a prophet that will come, that will be just like him or be similar to him. And we see here that this prophecy takes place. So we see a natural connection between Moses and Jesus. So instead of looking at Hollywood, instead of looking at the TVs and everything, let's look at Moses and let's look at Jesus. And how can we take or what can we take from their lives to help us improve ours? What ways were they alike? In what ways were they different? How can we learn from comparing these two great men? Number one, how can we compare and what were they similar in? Number one, Moses and Christ were both born at times of persecution. If you go back to Exodus chapter 1, I spent last Sunday night speaking from Exodus chapter 1. And as Exodus 1 is finishing up, we see that the Pharaoh had tried time and time and time again to bring down God. He was trying to fight God in basically trying to subdue or take away the Israelites, God's people. And he failed and he failed and he failed. And each time he tried harder and harder and harder. And finally, his last attempt here in Exodus chapter 1, verse 22. Says, then the Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. Pharaoh finally decrees this final law, this final command. In order to stop the Israelites, I want you guys to go out and throw all the baby boys into the Nile River. Flip the page if you need to. Exodus chapter 2. Mr. David read just for us. We see there the first part of chapter 2. We see the account that Moses was born. He was born under this extreme persecution to the point where Moses' mother hid Moses for months. To the point where she feared for Moses' life so much, she was willing to put him in a basket and put him in the Nile River, hoping and praying that he would be saved. Moses here was born under a time of great persecution. Let's go to Jesus. What about Jesus? If we go to the book of Matthew, we see that Jesus was also born during a great time of persecution. A similar situation is occurring here. Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. This was shortly after the birth of Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. It says, then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Remember back to the Pharaoh. Why was he persecuting the Israelites? He was scared. He was scared they were building in numbers. They were building in power. He was trying to stop that. Why did Herod do this something very similar? He was scared and he was furious, just like the Pharaoh was. In both these situations, God's messenger, Moses and Jesus, with the help of God's power, was able to be saved. They escaped the persecution. They escaped the death. Now, what about us? What about us? Maybe you weren't born during a time of persecution. Maybe you weren't born into a hardship. But what about today? What about today? Are you going through some current persecution? Are you going through some difficult portion of your life? Will you allow God to take over the situation just as Moses' mom did? She had no control. Once she put Moses in the basket and in the Nile River, she had no control over what was going to happen to him. She placed her faith. She placed her trust in God. Will you place all your trust in God? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understandings. How can we take this similarity between Moses and Jesus and apply it to our lives? We can trust in God. We can trust in God's word that whatever is going to happen, He's got it. He has it under control. It may not be what we want. It may not be what we like. but he has it. Moses and Christ, born at times of persecution. You probably, if not today, maybe in the past, or probably definitely in the future, will be going through a difficult time. Will you place your trust in God? Number two, Moses and Christ both lived exemplary lives. They're both spoken of as being humble. Moses in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, says, "Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all the people who were on the face of the earth." Meek doesn't mean weak. It means humble. It means power under control there. See, Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and lean from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We see both Moses and Jesus living humble lives. We also see in their lives of excellence that they both were people that gave up personal glory. They interceded on others' behalf. Quite frankly, they put others before themselves, both Jesus and Moses. See in Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32, starting with verse 11. But Moses implored. Moses was basically begging God, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'With evil intent did he bring them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth?' Turn from your burning anger. Relent from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, 'I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever.'" Moses is pleading to God. Why? Why? "Please do not destroy these people. Remember that promise that you made to Abraham, to Isaac." In verse 14, "And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people." Moses was thinking of others before himself, just as Jesus did as well. We could read many different accounts in the New Testament. Many different accounts where Jesus placed others, the needs of others, before himself. They both lived exemplary lives, yes, but they were also different. They were also different here in this aspect. While Moses did live a very, very, very great life, there's one major difference between Moses and Jesus. Moses sinned. Moses was guilty of that sin. Exodus chapter 2, we see that Moses kills an Egyptian. In Numbers chapter 20, we see that Moses disregarded God's command when he struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. Moses went against God's word. Jesus, in contrast, lived a life sinless. We see that he was spotless in regards to sin. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 describes this. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." They both lived great lives. Moses had sin in his life. Jesus didn't. Another difference between their two great lives: Moses offered to bear the guilt of the people, but God refused. In Exodus chapter 32, we see Moses willing to take on the punishment. He was willing to be the sacrifice for his people. But God says in verse 33, "But the Lord said to Moses, 'Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book.'" What about Jesus? Jesus could and he did bear all the sins of his people. Not just the Jews, but all people. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin. Jesus didn't know no sin. Jesus did not sin. But God putting him on the cross, he took on sin. He took on our sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What about us? Are you living a life of exemplary status? We're just like Moses. Each and every day, we're just like Moses. We have sin in our lives. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not a single one of us in this room today are not guilty of sin. But are we striving to live a life that displays characteristics of Jesus? Are we stuck in our sins? Or are we trying to improve? Are we trying to get better? Are we trying to be like Jesus? Paul says it in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. If your life was put on a movie reel and someone watched it, would they consider you to be imitating God? Strive to be like Jesus. We're going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. Let's strive to be imitators of our Savior. Number three, Moses and Christ were God's spokesmen. It was through Moses that the old law was given. We see in John chapter 1, verse 17, for the law was given through Moses. The law was given through Moses. We know Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, all those many laws that were given to the Israelites. That old law was given through Moses. He went to the mountaintop. God spoke to him. But once Jesus came, Jesus becomes the spokesperson for God. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. As long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us. By who? By his Son. By his Son, whom he appointed their heir, the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. And Jesus says in John 7, says Jesus answers, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. Jesus wasn't just teaching his words, he was teaching the Father's. He was teaching the Father's. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. Jesus came to be the spokesperson for God. Christ became the giver of the new law. In Galatians chapter 2, it says to bear one another's sins, bear one another's burdens, so to fulfill the law of Christ, Paul says. That's what Jesus came to teach. And if we are going to fulfill the messenger, God's messenger of the New Testament, we need to be following Christ. But this wasn't a legalistic system. Both laws were given in different ways. One came through Moses from a blazing mountain that we can see described in Hebrews 12. The other was given by Christ in his life, in his teachings, and him serving in a definitely a quieter manner. For us today, we're to follow the laws and the commands of Christ. The old law is there for us to learn from, yes. But us today, we're under the authority of that new law. John chapter 1, verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. What about us today? Are you being a spokesperson for God? Are you being a spokesperson for God? Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. Now, I know many of you sitting here saying, well, I can't go across water. I can't fly to foreign countries. I can't go to different states. When you leave your home, you go into all the world. When you go to your jobs, when you go to your schools, whenever you're with your friends, you are going into the world. Go into the world, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Matthew 8:28 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Christianity isn't just supposed to be practiced inside these four walls. We're supposed to take God's word outside these walls. I think oftentimes we forget that. Go doesn't mean stay here. Things we do here are great and awesome. The lost are out there. We have to go and be spokespeople for God's word. Number four, Moses and Christ performed miracles. They performed miracles. We see that miracles occurred with Moses. We see the 10 plagues. We see the parting of the Red Sea, throwing his staff down, and it changing to a snake, striking the rock, making water come from it. We see different miracles performed. In the New Testament, we read of many miracles that Jesus performed. From the great number of fish that were caught by Simon in Luke chapter 5, to Jesus healing a leper in Mark 1. Matthew chapter 8, Jesus healed the centurion's son. Also in Matthew 8, he calmed a storm. That's just the tip of the iceberg of the miracles that we see. Why were these miracles performed? Why did Jesus perform these miracles? Well, to show other people God's power. To show God's power. We know that words, we can talk a good talk, but actions is where people really see it in our lives. You can go out and you can tell people that you're a Christian, but they can watch you, they can watch your life, and that may tell a completely different story. Are you not only talking the talk, are you walking the walk? I know we can't perform miracles like Moses and Jesus. But what were they doing? They were following God's will. They were being obedient to what God wanted them to do each and every time they performed these miracles. Well, what should we be doing in our lives? It's the same thing. Living an obedient life to Him. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If I love my family, I'm going to do things to help them. If I love my friends, I'm going to do things to help them and to show them that I love them. I dare say everyone in here would probably say or raise their hand if I asked, do you love God? We can all say it, but are we really going outside these doors and living a life that shows others that we love Him? 1 John 2:3 says, by this we know that we've come to know Him. That's if we could keep His commandments. People will see that you know God if you are following His commands. Number five, Moses and Christ delivered God's people. Moses was the great deliverer of the Israelites. Not only was he the messenger, not only was the laws given through him, but he brought the Israelites out of slavery. In Exodus 12, we see the final plague that finally changed the heart of the Pharaoh. Moses was able to deliver the Israelites because of God's power. God's power is what changed the Pharaoh's heart. The Israelites followed the commands of God that were provided by Moses. They had the opportunity to be saved. Jesus Christ also came to be a deliverer. He didn't come to deliver people from a foreign country. He came to deliver people from sin. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus Christ came to earth, left heaven, came and walked on this earth, faced temptation just as we do each and every day. Not to be served, but to hang on that cross for you and for me. John chapter 8 says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, 'If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" John chapter 3, verse 16, we all know, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believeth in Him shall have eternal life. Jesus came to be the deliverer, to be the Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 basically sums up the essence of the gospel, starting in verse 1. "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preach to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believed in vain." Look at verse 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "For I deliver to you as of the first importance of what I also received." Paul saying here, this is what I've taught you. This is what you believed in. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. That He was buried. And that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. That's the gospel. That's the gospel of Christ right there. That's the reason why He came to this earth. Not to be served, not to be a king here on earth, but to save you and to save me. What about us? You're probably not going to a foreign country, saving people from slavery or anything like that. But you can help deliver someone. This goes back to also being a part of that spokesperson for God. Are you telling others about the gospel which we just read about there in 1 Corinthians 15? Are you helping others see what Jesus has done for them? Romans 5:8, "God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." It's free. It's free. We all like a good deal. Everyone likes a great deal. We just have to go and tell people about it. They won't know it unless we tell them. Mark 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, to give His life as a ransom for many." Are you sharing what God has done for you? Are you sharing the hope that God has given you? That's part of being a deliverer. Lastly, number 6, Moses and Christ both received a heavenly reward for their faithful service. There's no denying the eternal destination of Moses. We see him in Matthew chapter 17 appear there during that moment of transfiguration. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. "And after 6 days, Jesus took with Him Peter and James and John His brother, led them up a high mountain by themselves. And He was transfigured before them, and His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became white as light. Verse 3, "And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with Him." No denying the eternal destination of Moses. Yes, he made mistakes. He had sin in his lives just like you and I. But he lived a life that fulfilled God's will. He received that reward of eternal salvation. Jesus, He came to this earth. He also fulfilled God's will. He came not as an earthly king, but He came to be a Savior. He came to be a Savior to those that are willing to trust and obey Him. He emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. See in Philippians chapter 2. He received, Jesus received his reward for his willingness to be the lamb that was sacrificed for all. Philippians chapter 2, continuing verse 9. Therefore God has highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus came to earth, humbled himself. He was a servant. He is a Savior. He received his heavenly reward. What about us today? Will you gain your heavenly reward for being faithful to God? Have you placed 100% trust? Have you placed 100% trust in God's hands? Are you willing to turn your life over to Him? Or are you still hanging on to control? Are you still trying to control everything? Are you living a life that if Jesus returned before sunset this evening, He would say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? If you've never obeyed the gospel, that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you've never repented of your sins, as it says to do in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, if you've never confessed Christ as the Son of God before men, as it says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you've never been immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins, as it says in Acts 2:38. If you've never did that, if you've never rose again, walking a new life as a new creation in Christ, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, we implore you to do that this morning. That's what it's all about. Who do we model our lives after? Who do we model our lives after? How does your life compare to Moses and Christ? Do you need a change? Do you need a change? If you have any need, please come forward as we stand and sing.